You are listening to Social Work Khuluma Podcast. Siyakwamukela.
Hello and welcome to Social Work Khuluma. This is a podcast that is looking at how podcasts can be used for helping professionals. And my guest today is Muruna Sikane, and she is the marketing manager at the Voice of Wits radio station. Hello, Muruna.
Hi, Roshni. How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
I'm good, thank you.
Muruna, thank you very much for doing the second episode with us. And I'm interested in knowing how the Voice of Wits can help other educators who want to create podcasts. For a start, I'd like you to tell our listeners a little bit about you.
My name is Muruna Sikane. I am the marketing manager for Voice of Wits FM. I'm also an ex-Wits student, but they do say once a Witsy, always a Witsy. So I did study at Wits University. I did my BA undergrad, and then I did my honors in media studies at Wits. I think that's a little bit about who I am.
Okay, so that's in your professional CV.
Yes.
So if I had to meet you at a party and I asked you to introduce yourself, how would you introduce yourself then in that social gathering?
Wow, okay. I actually don't even know. But I think I'll start by saying that an overall vibe. And what I mean by that is that I usually am, I'm not going to say the life of the party, but I do light up the room when I do walk in. I do think that you could call me the sun. So like how everyone is always happy to see it. There are some people who might not like it, but I think everyone enjoys a little bit of sun from time to time.
Oh, I love that. That is such a lovely way. So Muruna, tell me a little bit about the power of podcasting in education.
So podcasting in its very, you know, simplistic form is audio on demand. In terms of curating audio for you to put across the messaging the way that you would like for it to be heard. So it's a curated space for people with like-minded or people who want to learn about a particular topic to go in and, you know, explore that world without having to read, because we realize that a lot of people don't, not that they don't enjoy reading, but they just don't have the time to be reading. While podcasting is something that allows people to go through audio even passively. So while they're doing something else, so it doesn't feel like it's a lot of time. So in terms of education, I think it also provides a different aspect because spending a lot of time reading through lecture slides, reading through course packs, textbooks, and all of that stuff does sometimes take its toll on you, you know? And I think the fact that we've also spent so much time on our devices because of the hybrid learning and online learning that we've become introduced to over the past 2 years, it's also a nice breakaway to be able to consume information without having to actually be looking at a screen, you know. So you can, there are some people who learn better using audio, and that's why maybe recording lectures was, you know, easier. But this time around, you can curate the same content that's in lectures and whatever other material that you use, but to be in audio form, and people can constantly go back. So even if you didn't understand something the first time around, having that ability to rewind to say, okay, I didn't quite get that, and being able to listen to it over and over again so you can pick up different concepts from the first time that you tried to listen to it. I do think it's a game changer. I really believe that it's something that I think a lot of educators should use moving forward.
I think that's a really amazing response, because you speak about knowledge transfer and using different methods of knowledge transfer. And I think that often people saw knowledge transfer specifically in the domain of social, the pure sciences, and moving it into the social sciences and the helping profession, in my view, adds quite a bit of potential. So you've touched on this question, but what is the additional value of podcasts for student learning specifically, knowing that most of our students, based on research, do have a smartphone in their pocket?
I think, just as I had mentioned previously, that just finding a different way of being able to access information is very, you know, is a lot more it makes it better for you to get the information, right? So I'll speak for myself. I wear glasses, right? And I wear reading glasses. I don't enjoy the fact that I have to wear my glasses all the time for me to be able to access knowledge, right? So sometimes it's nice to be able to take my glasses off and be able to hear someone talk to me. And unfortunately, when you're in a lecture room, there is the audio content, which is the person speaking to you, but they're also speaking about something that's either up on a projector or on a board or, you know, one of those few things. Whereas a podcast just is just that everything is described using audio. You don't have to be reading something. And this also goes into in terms of being, you know, inclusive, because we do have people who are differently abled, and you know, it wouldn't be fair by the fact that we just have to be able to read for you to not for you to access information. So for me, I think the most important part is that podcasting and all other audio tools that are used in education really just helps, because it means that I don't have to be able to read for me to be able to listen to the podcast. Just because I know how to speak English doesn't automatically mean that I know how to read. And that also then speaks to having podcasts in different languages so that people are able to access information without having to be able to read.
Well, those aspects are really meaningful, because you've touched on the aspect of social justice in terms of podcasts being available and more accessible to people who are differently able, as well as the fact that there is that aspect of multilingualism that can also be developed as one goes along. I'm sold on the idea of podcasts, but I'd like you to tell other listeners, how can the voice of WIDS contribute to assist educators create bespoke podcasts in their courses?
At Voice of WIDS, we have had to almost expand our product offering just so that we're able to be sustainable post-COVID. So we have decided that we're going to explore the avenue of podcasting, not only for educational reasons, but also just for people to have access to different kinds of information. So we have podcasts that are ranging from, artificial intelligence all the way to just what, there are women who are going through different struggles in their lives and they want to tell their stories. So it's making sure that everyone is involved in their storytelling, whatever your story may be. So that's the first point that, you know, made us explore this avenue of podcasting. And then secondly, to help people in the educational space, it would be the fact that it's exactly that. At the end of the day, that's what we do. We disseminate information because we are a radio station. So I think just to go back to the core of who we are, it was important for us to then say that, okay, there are people who are going to use these podcasting facilities. And because we have the technological equipment, we have the staff, we have the people who are able to say, okay, I would like to explore this avenue in terms of my career development, because that's what Voice of WIDS is about as well. It's giving a platform to young graduates where they're able to come in and say, I'm interested in broadcasting. Even though they might not know what avenue of broadcasting they're interested in, we can give them the platform to say, maybe look at podcasting, maybe audio engineering, and so on and so forth. So I think what Voice of WIDS does is supports the production of podcasts by making sure that it is high quality using the equipment that we have, and also taking these young graduates and challenging them to say, we are going to give you a podcast that probably has nothing to do with what you've learned, but they're also able to learn some of the stuff through the recording of the podcasts.
That's amazing. So educators can come to you with their concepts and their ideas, and you can assist them in terms of curating these podcasts, designing these podcasts, and possibly putting them on a particular platform.
Absolutely. So everything from the conceptualization. So if you come as an educator, you come through and you say, I have a podcast on teaching people who are differently abled. right, will come. So we'll help you to say that, okay, once that has done, let's figure out how long the postcard series is going to be. After conceptualization and also knowing what the creative idea behind it is, then we go in to say that, okay, let's find a support structure that will help you do this, because some people are not able to come into the station for them to record. So we'll let them know and we'll advise them what sort of equipment they need to record from wherever they are. And then we will come in and help with the cleaning and editing of the audio and then put it on a platform and help you with the advertising. Of course, it's very important for you to also advertise it in your niche, because if you are speaking to a particular space to say it's educators and this is what you're trying to put out there, like we mentioned, you know, teaching people who are differently abled, you have to advertise it to your niche, even though we are doing it on our side to people who probably don't even know that there's a podcast like that that could potentially exist.
No, I agree. I mean, educators would have to have specific niche audiences, and some of those audiences could include students. Some audiences may include just the general public, but also experts in the field because they have specific areas of interest.
Yes.
So, Maruna, tell me, what are some of the ingredients of a good podcast, and what are some of the steps somebody who is interested, possibly an educator who is interested in developing a podcast, should actually go through in terms of working through that process?
So I think the most important step would be the conceptualization stage. So you need to know what the podcast is about. What is the idea behind the podcast? Secondly, is then to decide on the duration of the podcast. So are we doing a once-off podcast where we're saying we're going to be speaking for 1 hour, you know, about whatever it is that you want to speak about? Or are you going to have a series of podcasts? Say we have one series that speaks to one theme and then a different series that speaks to a different theme. So we can have a 6-part series, or you can have 2 5-part series, whichever one works for you. So, you know, deciding on the length of your podcast. And then discussing the person who's going to narrate or voice your podcast. Because as much as the content of the podcast is important, but also the way that the person connects to their audience is also important, because people listen to people, they don't listen to content. And then you need to find a way to, obviously finding the time and the schedule and all of that to put together and package the podcast, right? So having a good, content producer, where you know that you're telling the story that has a common thread from the first episode all the way to the last. So I don't feel confused if I'm just going to listen to the, you know, I should be able to know what the podcast is about if I listen to the 3rd episode, even if I haven't listened to the 1st and the 2nd. So having that common thread that doesn't allow people to be lost, but also being able to say that I want to hear more, I want to listen to the other episodes of the series, right? So having your hook, and that's what your content producer will do. And then having a good audio engineer. So the person who's going to be helping you clean your podcast, the person who's going to be helping you put in the background music and all the auditory stuff that you may need in your podcast. So if you need in certain mnemonics, if you need certain sonic triggers, those are that's the person who will help you put that together. And then I think also just after packaging all of that, having a good marketing team would help you a lot, because as I mentioned, if people don't know about the podcast, they won't listen to it. So knowing that you are driving that message to say, this is, go to this particular platform to listen to the podcast. It's very important to be using a platform that is low on data consumption, because we do know in South Africa, data costs are a problem, right? So making sure that people don't use a lot of data while listening to your podcast is also very important. And this then speaks to the platform that you're going to use to market your podcast and to house it. And then just telling people about it. Let people know that it exists. Even people who you don't think might want to know about it, let them know about it. Let them make the decision whether they want to hear it or not. And the reason why I say this is because not so long ago, I was actually working with a team who were talking about a podcast on philanthropy in the modern society. I had no idea that I could be interested in that. But just from the fact that I knew about it and I got the opportunity to listen to it, now I can go back and say, okay, this is something that I can use. And then also making sure that your podcast is in part of the packages that you would want to be putting out there. So say, like you mentioned, if you're going to be speaking to other educators, they can use it as their course material, as their study material, so that people are able to, you know, disseminate and also to use as discourse. So it's podcasts can be used for many different things, not just for, you know, learning, but also for teaching, but also for entertainment and just for people to be, you know, exposed to the podcast world, because it still is a new thing in South Africa.
No, thanks. That was a very comprehensive response. You mentioned something called sonic triggers. I don't think our audience knows what sonic triggers are.
If you think about the sound of a child laughing, you know what sort of feeling that brings to the person. So if I want to bring about that feeling to my listener, I would play that sound. But also it can go, you know, pear-shaped very quickly, because you don't want to be hearing a child laughing in the middle of the night when you're alone at the house. But obviously in the context of the podcast, it's very important for you to find the right sounds that will, you know, complete and also amplify the messaging that you're trying to put across.
I know exactly what you mean, because when I'm driving in a car and then there's an advert that plays the sound of a hooter, it's very frustrating.
Absolutely. Or something that sounds like your car is breaking down. That's the last thing you want to hear while you're listening to a podcast. So it's also to be very, you know, it's very important for you to bear in mind that people are listening to these podcasts while they're doing other things. As I mentioned, they're passively listening. So just be aware of the sounds that you use in your podcast so that you're not triggering someone negatively, but or rather looking to trigger them positively.
I also like the concept of load data, because, you know, students experience challenges in terms of accessing data and being able to have a method of learning that consumes less data than possibly a Teams or a Zoom meeting, I think is quite critical in this process. Can you tell us a little bit about the platform that is used by Voice of Wits?
So Voice of Wits uses a publishing platform called Ayono. So Ayono comes in different packages as a publisher. Right. So you have the free to use platform where you can just publish your stuff without paying for anything. There's no subscription services. Then it comes in like three different tiers, and each tier gives you access to other information. So for argument's sake, the first tier will give you analytics. So you're able to go in the back end and find out where are people listening from, who is listening, how long they're listening for, and that sort of information. And as each tier, you know, goes higher, then there's a lot more stuff that you have access to that you sort of unlock on the Ayono platform. And then the reason why I mentioned the low data consumption, it comes in, I don't know how to explain it, but it will tell you that when you're trying to download the podcast itself, right, the episode of a podcast, it will tell you that it will either take 32 kilobytes or 64 kilobytes. And that's just how much data you're going to be using to, you know, to consume the date, to consume the podcast. So I think it's very cost effective, even on our side as a publisher. So even if you are looking to publish and to have your own channel on Ayono, you're able to go and, you know, use that free to use platform, so that you don't have to pay for all the other streaming platforms.
That I think is quite important, as well as for the analytics to just understand, like, what are the numbers. And maybe you could just tell us a little bit, now that you've spoken about analytics, is what are the numbers that podcast creators are looking for?
I think much like influencers, right, there are different tiers to podcast creators, right? There would be the what you would call the smaller podcasters, because they're not looking to necessarily, they're not going for numbers, but looking for having a lot more episodes on the same, subject.
Yes.
Right? So for argument's sake, like educators, I don't think you're looking to monetize. Yes, of course, if you do monetize, it's a plus. But at the end of the day, it's how many people are listening and understanding what you are teaching rather than how many people are just listening, but you don't know what they're doing with that information, right? So I think, like I mentioned earlier, that in South Africa, podcasting is still very niche and a very small market. I think, you know, anything just like maybe 3,000 listeners at a time would be amazing for a podcast. It wouldn't be like a YouTube video or whatever the case may be, because it is still a small market.
No, definitely, I agree. And I think that as we develop, we're probably going to get requests from students to actually have podcasts. So I think it is a new, novel and innovative concept, but I think that it has potential as we move along and just look at different ways in which education is offered to students. Tell me a little bit about the value, and we spoke a little bit about sonic triggers, but tell me a little bit about the value of sound and music in creating affect, or what I would also call socio-emotional learning.
Like I spoke about earlier about sonic triggers, right? So sound has different effects on people. Right. So we know that there's white noise. There could be the sound of the rain or the sound of the wind or whatever the case may be. And this will also be informed by your subject matter. If you want someone to be calm while they are learning about this stuff, you don't want to put them to sleep, but you want them to remain calm and not feel panicked or overwhelmed by the information that you're going to give them. You might want to put a little bit of background noise to make sure that, you know, it might be happening in their subconscious where they might not be aware that that's how it makes them feel. But it is important to set people at ease. Sometimes it just is also just to make sure that someone stays awake, right? Because listening to someone's voice and there's nothing else, just their voice going on for about 15 or 30 minutes, it can be extremely boring. So just making sure that there's a little bit of audio that's not too distracting so that they don't hear what you're trying to educate them on, but also just to keep them awake, to make it fun and interactive. So sometimes you can just, you know, so you can have different audio pieces that can differentiate, will act like ad breaks, if for the lack of a better explanation, that will act as an ad break to give someone a breather to be able to think about what they've just heard, but you don't want to end the podcast yet because there's still something else that you're still trying to speak about. I think just having those sound bites also could help in the sense that, like I said, it will give a break from the person who's speaking, but to also introduce concepts as examples. So for argument's sake, if we were dissecting a speech that was given by a certain minister, it would be nice to bring in the sound bite by the minister instead of me reading what the minister said. And then we are able to dissect. So that brings a differentiation in the voice, and, you know, it gives it a little bit of more texture.
No, you've just segued us into the next thing, which is the aspect of the different strategies in terms of content. And I know that what we are doing right now is almost like an interview. But tell us a little bit about narrative and discussion podcasts and how that may be used in education.
So in a narrative, it would be exactly what I just explained, where you'd be telling a story. So you go in and you talk about Roshni was at Voice of Vets and she was here to record a podcast. But somehow there was someone else who saw Roshni. And maybe you can bring them in to say that, you know, we did see Roshni recording a podcast with Marona and this is what happened. And you're able to bring in a different perspective of the same thing that we're still talking about, but having a different voice. And then sometimes it's also to bring in an expert voice. So if you're speaking on a particular subject matter that is specialized, it's important to then bring someone else of authority, because I can speak about it because I'm maybe a presenter. But if I don't have the expertise and the knowledge, why do I have the authority to speak on this content? So having a third voice to say, come in, a specialized voice, and they have, you know, they're able to speak on this. And then also just what I mentioned about having someone else maybe speaking about, maybe having a song come in, because this is the song that you're going to maybe theme the podcast on, or have a song that will describe the mood of the day, whatever the case may be, just bringing in other elements that are able to give the podcast color.
In South Africa and Africa, there's a big drive to develop indigenous knowledge systems and content creations. So my second question, or similar to that, is the statement, Africans are great storytellers and have a strong oral history and tradition. What is your view on that?
That is absolutely true. And I think just that, as I mentioned earlier when we were speaking, that just because I can speak doesn't mean I know how to read. So if we are going to be giving people knowledge to say that or maybe you want to have someone give knowledge, but they don't know how to write themselves for many other reasons, whether because of their medical condition or the fact that they just haven't been taught how to write or whatever the case may be, right? It's very important to then say that these people need to be included in the passing on, of knowledge. And I can't imagine, you know, how important it would be to have, if in my own space, if I'm going to have my grandfather, you know, speak to me about the traditions and, you know, educate us about the background of the family, and that's something that you're able to carry through from generation to generation, and you know that there was no other way of you extracting this knowledge without it getting lost either in translation or whatever the case may be, but you keeping the audio as it is and having these audio libraries with the information that we need as a society. So you speak about Africans, but we realize that it's not just Africans, but there are people in different parts of the world who are going through the same things, where they want to be putting out information and knowledge, but they're not able to because they can't use the traditional methods of putting information out there.
You are speaking to my heart completely, because in my view, the value of Ubuntu and being part of a collective is deeply rooted in social work. And therefore, I'm of the view that a lot of the history of how social work started in South Africa and Africa has not been written. Most of our textbooks come from the West. And I'm talking about when I was a student. So I feel that there's a huge gap in terms of the history of how groups and group work existed in our societies that is not actually been written about. And I think that this method can assist in spreading the word wider and getting to our roots, which are important.
Yeah, and I think just the importance of speaking in different languages is also, you know, something that we can't just overlook. I mean, you and I right now are speaking in English, which is great because we understand each other. But there could be someone else who needs to hear the very same information, but they don't understand English. And that doesn't mean they shouldn't have access to the information. So I think just to avoid things like things getting lost in translation because someone else is, listening in and writing and hoping that the person, and you're hoping that the person who's translating this for you captures the essence of what you're trying to say. But if I was to speak in Sesotho right now, I know that someone else who is Sesotho speaking can understand exactly what I'm trying to say, because I will be using idioms and sayings and, you know, all of those things that people use in social settings so that people are able to understand the essence of the message. So I think podcasting is really important for that. Exactly.
So tell me, Maruna, if one has to give advice to an educator who wants to use multilingualism, and possibly that educator speaks only English, what would be the mechanisms? Because some literature that I have read has indicated to me that when one uses one's vernacular, students sit up straighter. There's a greater appreciation of that knowledge. But then there's the other view when I spoke to somebody and she said, well, I don't want it in the vernacular. I feel it'll dumb down the content, because when I go out into the world, I am going to be using English.
Some concepts, of course, may not exist, or maybe we're not be able to speak about in using other languages, you know, in vernacular languages, as you've stated. Simply because maybe we don't have scholars who have explored that content using the vernacular language, right? But I think in terms of access to information, when someone has a choice, it's a lot easier to then say, okay, I want to listen to this in my language, yes. Right? But if I don't have a choice where I'm only listening to this information in English, but I still miss the point, then what was the point of me doing the exercise to begin with? And I think like that person, and I say this to refer to the person that you spoke about that says, I don't want to listen to it in my home language because I feel like it will dumb down the concepts. That's great for them because they have the choice of speaking in English and understanding English. But if I'm going to go to rural Free State, someone doesn't have that choice and they will need to hear it in whatever, in Sesotho or isiZulu, whichever language that they're speaking. And just because we might not have the concepts in the language that already exists, but we're able to explain it to a point that someone is able to understand it. So I think it's very important to use different languages when teaching so that people have the choice of how they want to understand the concepts. Because even though you might feel like we're dumbing it down, but it's explaining it right down to its core so that it's easier for the next person to understand. And I think it was Nelson Mandela who said that when you speak to a person in their home language, you speak to their heart.
Absolutely.
So I think it's very important to give the people, you know, the ability to choose how they want to learn.
I think that's the most critical thing that you said, because it's offering options. And I now need to put you on the spot and ask, if, for example, we would like, as educators, Voice of Fitz to assist in terms of translation services, like, for example, this interview that we are conducting. If I come to you as marketing manager and say, tell me, how can you assist me to translate this or to recreate this podcast in maybe isiZulu or Sesotho?
Okay, right now as it stands, Voice of Fitz doesn't have those capabilities in-house. But I'm 100% sure that we are able to find people who understand the language so well that they're able to help you with that. So we can outsource, you know, the responsibility to say, okay, we know that there are people who are in this particular field who are able to assist us with translating and transcribing, or however you would want it to be, whether you want it in audio or you want it written down. We know we have the people that we trust and people who have been, you know, registered and I don't recall what PENSALB stands for, but it's the Literature Board, the Language and Literature Board. People who are registered under that board and are able to do and recreate this podcast as you would ask for would have no problem with that, because we want to be inclusive.
I really like that. I think that is the way to go. So we've spoken about multilingual podcasts. Can you give us some pitfalls that people might encounter when they want to create a podcast, educators specifically?
I think just in general, when you venture into a new concept, there might be certain oversights that you might face, right? You'll find that we spoke about differently abled people, right? And realize that, okay, now we're speaking to people who might not be able to see. What about people who cannot hear? But you want to use podcasting as a teaching method. So I think there's just certain parts. You can't always cover the ground equally, right? But I think if everything is well researched, you'd be able to make sure that you do and produce the best podcast that you possibly can. There are certain things like time management that could be an issue. There's the fact that quality control of audio could be an issue. the content production could be an issue, because sometimes you might cover a certain part of the content, but people actually wanted to hear a different perspective on the content. So it's constantly thinking that you need to be switched on to what your, it's that balance between what your audience wants to hear and what you want to tell your audience. So, you know, finding that balance could be tricky at first, but once you get the gist of it, because of, you know, the analytics that we spoke about and seeing how people interact and respond to the podcast once it's out there, it's something that you can work around. So I think all of the pitfalls that I, you know, mentioned are things that you can work around, right, simply because as you move forward, you'd be able to refine and make sure that everything else is covered.
So I think what you're speaking about is possibly in terms of differently able is probably creating transcriptions of your podcasts, and where sometimes people who have a hearing or unable to hear would be able to have software that might even convert it into Braille and assist them in terms of understanding the content. But also I think what is important is to understand possibly the hashtags or the kind of information that one gives out with a podcast, so that a listener would be able to selectively choose which ones they want to access and which ones they don't, or sometimes maybe just to fast forward certain sections.
I think, yes, having those tags, or they are called tags, where you're able to then say that I want to listen to the podcast from this point where we speak about whatever part of the concept, like you would if you were to, you know, open a PDF and put in the word and click find, then it will go to all the, yes, the you know, the sentences that have that word. I think I'm not sure if podcasts are there as yet where you can just fast forward to say I want to listen from this section. But I do think that that's also a plus, because you do want people to spend time listening to everything that you want to speak about. And because I don't think that you'd go out and make a podcast for someone to only listen to 5 seconds of it. Okay. You do want someone to listen to the whole thing. So I think that's also, I guess, a blessing and a curse. But it works either way.
Yeah. I know students can fast forward and put it on a double speed, I suppose, because I know students do that.
Of course.
So we've come to the end, and I think you've shared really amazing information, and I'm really glad that I've had this discussion with you. And so now I've started off with some personal bits, and I'm going to end with some personal bits. So tell us, which podcast do you listen to?
Oh, wow. Okay. So I listened to a podcast by, I don't remember her surname, but her name is Olorato, and it's called Living Content. Mm-hmm. I do listen to podcasts of some other radio stations, because I mentioned that audio on demand, right? So I do know that if I missed out on a conversation somewhere, then I can just go to the, you know, website and listen to some of the interviews. And I do that also just so that I know what other people in my field are doing. I listen to a lot of motivational podcasts, I think, if that's what to call it. So information, like podcasts about Black girls doing amazing things and, you know, trying to figure out this world, this big bad world. So, I think quite a few podcasts that speak to that.
Okay. I also like to listen to some motivational ones. I listen to the Oprah Winfrey one.
Oh, yes, well. That too. That's also a favorite.
So what 3 books that you have read recently that you would recommend to our listeners?
Ooh, okay. So Misbehavior by Lebohang. I just don't remember her surname. There's also... Roshni, you put me on the spot here. Nervous Conditions by Koleka Putuma. And another book that I read is Rape by Phumla Gqola.
Ah, right.
Yes.
She's an amazing academic and writer.
Absolutely.
So the last question is, if you were stranded on a desert island, and you know you're going to be stranded on this desert island.
Yes.
What are the only 3 things you would carry with you?
a battery-powered radio.
Battery or sun-powered? Solar-powered?
Probably solar-powered battery radio.
Okay.
Yes, something that has both. What else would I have? I definitely need my glasses, so I definitely have that.
Yes.
And what else? I can't imagine.
What can't you live without? Even if it's a luxury.
I think cookies and cream ice cream.
Oh. That sounds good. I like that. Yeah, no, so thank you so much. I really enjoyed talking to you. And I think that when this can be published, it could be used by various educators in WITS and even beyond to look at how they might want to curate a podcast. So thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Roshni.
You've been listening to the Social Work Khuluma podcast. Thank you for listening in. Siyabonga.